Welcome to Spiritual Taboo. My name is Lana Johnson, and this is my first podcast. And I am here to let you know who I am and what we're going to be talking about. And it's called Taboo because we'll be discussing things that most people don't talk about. We'll be talking about everything from past life regression to mediumship to seances to you name it, we'll cover it. And tonight we'll be talking about past life regression. I, too, am a hypnotist, but Mr. Johnson, my husband, is a hypnotist as well, and we'll be talking to him about past life. So, Mark.
Yeah?
Who all have you studied with?
Well, I started learning from my dad, because my dad was doing past life back in the 1960s, and then I studied with several hypnotists, Gil Boyne, Orman McGill. And then I had a chance to take a class with Brian Weiss, who's written some popular books on past life. And then I found out in 2007 that Michael Newton was coming out of retirement to teach Life Between Lives. So I went to Chicago and took a class with him and his staff. And then I studied with Dolores Cannon from 2008 to 2012. I took a lot of classes with her.
Okay. And so, which was your favorite teacher?
Oh, Michael Newton.
Michael. And so, as doing past life regression therapy, how does that work?
Well, the idea is to connect with memories that are deep in your subconscious mind. So, to do that, we start by we talk a little bit up front, but we go into hypnosis. And once you get the person into a reasonable state of hypnosis, they're able to connect with other times, other places. And my typical format for doing this is to kind of do a warm-up first. We'll go to happy childhood memories, and we'll go back to the womb, and then we'll go back to past life. So that's typically how we get there. And once we get there, we'll navigate through different times in that lifetime. Typically, I'm moving forward towards the last day, but I also allow them to go where they need to go. So they might go back to, they might be an adult and go back to when they're a child. They might go back a few years, back a few days, back a few months. But we move back and forth and move forward until we get to the last day. And once we cross over, I like to take people through a very thorough past life review where we review what came up, get some more information, and also this is where we work with dealing with emotions and physical problems in the current life that actually started in the past life.
So does that happen often?
Does what happen often?
That people will bring things into this life.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, yeah. So some are involved, some fears are involved in this. So I talked to one of my students the other day, and she reminded me, because it's been a while, that I did a past life with her, and her fear of water went away. And she said, I can go over a bridge now, I don't get scared, I can be in the water, I can go on a boat, and I don't get scared anymore. And then she said, can you help me with my claustrophobia and my fear of heights? Because I'm going to go mountain climbing in France, and we're going to go in caves. And they said, you got to be sure you can deal with the tight spaces in the caves. So we'll do a session at the end of the month to work on that.
So what does people typically come for to do their past life? Are they coming to find those types of things that can help them change in this life? Are they just coming for the experience?
Well, some people come, some people just say, I'm just curious. And those people, usually they're not that exciting, but sometimes they are. Sometimes there's more to it, but that's all they tell me. Some people will have problems in their current life. They could be relationships, which could be romantic relationships, spouse relationships with children, with adults, with parents, with friends, with former partners. And that's a big thing that comes up. And so they want to find out about the connection. Was I connected to this person in a past life? Sometimes people want to find out because they have a close relationship with another person. They want to find out, were we together before? Because when we first met, it was like we already knew each other, like a deja vu moment. So there are different things that come up, different reasons people want to do it. Some do come in because they have physical issues in their body that they want to resolve through the past life. Some come in because they have emotions that are just out of control. They don't understand why they have these emotions. Some people feel a connection to some kind of creative activity. It could be, well, it could be like music. It could be art. It could be even other things that are creative, like leadership. I'm a CEO at a corporation. Oh, in a past life, I found out I was an Indian chief, and I led my Indians into battle. And so this a leadership position in the past life, a leadership position in the current life. So there are many different things, but probably about 6 or 8 years ago, I had a lot of people tell me, and I still have a lot of people tell me this, I'm on a spiritual journey. And they'll say, I'm stuck, I want to move faster, I can't move forward. And so they are coming in to find out more about their spiritual journey and how they can turn up the heat, move faster, get more out of their experience. Some are doing really well, and they want to ramp it up. So,
well, Dolores Cannon would refer to people being, you know, with their illness, getting better when they went through past life.
Right.
Have you found that to be true?
It's always a possibility. And so I don't tell people, I don't use the word, and you avoided the word healing, because I can't heal somebody. However, spirit can do the healing. And there could be some legal ramifications about using the word healing. I can heal you if I'm not a doctor. So I can't say that I heal people. And I avoid saying that for that very reason, because I'm not a medical doctor. But I can help people to access information that can help them to heal from a lot of different challenges they might have in their life. Health issues.
And so can you be, do you typically reincarnate with the same people?
That would be a yes and no answer. So we tend to have a group that we spend time with when we're not in the physical realm. And so Michael Newton would call this a soul group or a soul cluster. And this is a group of souls that you spend time with when you're not in the physical body. When you're in the spirit world, you spend time with the soul group doing different things, learning, maybe in a classroom, maybe playing games that you play in spirit, which would be different than games we play here. But spending time with them in the spirit world is different than it is spending time with them here. So when we come into a life, we may have one or two, we may have four or five members of our soul group that we run into at some part of our life. They may not all be part of your life the whole time, but they're there at key moments. They're there to do things to help you in many ways as you go through this experience that we call life.
So when I had my past life, my daughter came up in about three of them. So do you think that she'll continue to be in my past lives? Or do you think that is she just one of my big teachers, my fans on the other side? Or do you think that will end?
Well, you said, will she continue to be in my past lives? Well, I think what you meant was, will she continue to be in my future lives? Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. And if there's some kind of reason that you're together, like you have something to accomplish. You're working on something. Either you're working on something or she's working on something, or you're both working on something to accomplish it, then you may continue to come back until you accomplish that. If there's some kind of conflict going on between the two of you, so that's depending on which daughter it is, if there's a conflict going on, until that conflict is resolved in the physical realm, the soul, on a soul level, you'll probably continue to work together to resolve whatever that is. So you may continue to come back until you get it right.
Well, she's very skeptical of all of this. So do you find it easier or harder to hypnotize and go into regression with people that's skeptical?
Well, most people that are skeptical don't call me. Sometimes they do. But usually somebody that's skeptical is not going to initiate something like this. And I'm not going to try to force feed this to someone, because I realize if they don't want to do it, it's probably not going to be very beneficial.
Can everyone be hypnotized?
I feel like everybody can be hypnotized if they want to be. Now, some people, they go into hypnosis, they can just open their eyes and bring themselves right out if they want to. Some people say only this percent, 5-10% can go into hypnosis, only 20% of people can be, or 10% are not hypnotizable. There's all these numbers out there. A lot of that was established like years ago. I don't really buy into that. I think if somebody wants to be hypnotized, they can. And I have this special induction that works really well. So I was in a class in Las Vegas in 2007. This guy said, I can't be hypnotized. It's kind of a scary thing what he said. He said, my priest put the seal on me. And the seal was a suggestion created by Milton Erickson that he would give his clients, patients, he was a psychiatrist, that only a doctor can hypnotize you. Only a doctor can hypnotize you. So this guy knew about the seal, and he said, I can't be hypnotized. The teachers can't hypnotize me because my priest put the seal on me. He was convinced when I was a kid. It sounds kind of scary. So I said, well, let's try this. So I put him in a rotating chair, bar stool with a back on it, sat him in the chair, turned it around about 8 or 9 times, stopped the chair. He dropped like a rock and just slid out of the chair onto the floor. He went out like a light. So using the right induction, even in his case, he wanted to, but he was convinced he couldn't be, but he still went into that state. And I believe anybody that follows my instructions with that induction will go into hypnosis, even if they don't want to. And if they don't want to, they can come right back out after it's over.
So a lot of people believe that hypnosis, once they're in trance, that they no longer have control and they'll do whatever you tell them. Is that true?
Well, not really. It just depends on several factors. So a man named Dave Ellman, my dad studied with Dave Ellman back in the 60s. Ellman talked a lot about something called the critical factor of the conscious mind. The critical factor is what prevents suggestions from going in to the client's subconscious mind and becoming effective, an effective suggestion that creates a desire to do the suggested behavior. So the critical factor is a real important part to keep you safe. So if somebody tells you, eat dirt, you'll say, no, I'm not going to eat dirt. That's your critical factor. Even if you're in hypnosis and somebody tells you to eat dirt, you probably won't eat dirt. Now, there are ways to kind of be sneaky about it. You could get a plate of dirt and tell them that it's an ice cream cake. And they might eat it. You might be able to trick somebody into eating it. Also, there's another factor that comes up, and that is a couple of ways to accomplish this. One, if a person is asleep, they're in the same brainwave state that they're in when they're in hypnosis. So in that case, you can give somebody that's asleep a suggestion, and it may bypass that critical factor of the conscious mind because the conscious mind is asleep, and that critical factor is asleep. The other thing is some people go so deep into hypnosis that they come out and they don't remember anything. They don't remember anything because their conscious mind has left the building. And those people, you can possibly sneak in a suggestion. But when I teach hypnosis, I always tell my students, if you're going to do that when somebody's asleep or you realize somebody is not aware of what you're saying, then you need to be sure to be ethical about it. Don't try to sneak in some underhanded, unethical suggestion.
Well, that's good. So I have another question. When you're doing this and you're just doing regular hypnosis, do you ever have people spontaneously go into a past life?
Back about maybe 12 or 14 years ago, I had a lady that went into a past life, and she didn't understand what was going on because she was a boy. And it seemed like it kind of freaked her out. Typically not. I did have a student in Phoenix who I hypnotized to go back, and this is what happens more often. I might hypnotize somebody to go back to deal with maybe a fear. I had somebody deal with the fear of public speaking. And he went back to when he was in the first grade, reading a book in front of the class, and he stumbled and everybody laughed at him. But then we found there was another time before that, so we went back and he was in a past life where he got up and spoke, and the people that were the powers in the town where he lived didn't like what he said, so he got killed. So this can happen. I also had a student in class. We were doing regression, and she went back to a time when she was, it was a fear of hospitals or anxiety in hospitals. And so she went back to that when we were not going there. We're going looking for something in the current life. We're doing regression to cause. And that's where people, if the origin of the problem is in a past life, they might go back there. But if it's in the current life, they might go back to the current life.
So if they go back and they discover that they're a different sex, does that disturb them at some time?
I don't know that it disturbs them. A long time ago, it was probably in 2012, I think, it was my very first trip to Oklahoma. I had this guy I was working with, and I took him into a past life. I said, "What's going on?" "Oh, I'm in a saloon. It's like a Western saloon. I'm a woman." I said, "You're a woman?" "Yeah, I'm up at," and I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm at the bar having a shot." And I'm like, "You're having a shot at the bar?" "Yeah, so I work here." "Oh, you work here. Okay. Well, let's see what else happens. Let's go to another scene." I said, "What's going on?" "I'm in a room upstairs." "You're in a room upstairs. What are you doing?" "I'm having sex." "Like, you're having sex?" "Yeah, this man paid me and I'm having sex with him." And I kind of freaked out, and I said, "Okay, let's just go." I was afraid it was going to bother me. He was going to open his eyes and go, "I don't want to do this." So I just said, "Okay, let's just go to another time now." And I just moved him on to another scene. So it wasn't that he never said anything about it, but I was concerned because I was pretty green at doing this. I was a little concerned it might bother him to the point that he just opened his eyes, but it didn't really happen that way.
Well, do you feel like it didn't happen that way because in that moment they truly are in the scene and they're truly having the experience? So it kind of calms them?
What experience are you talking about?
Being a woman.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I really haven't had people bothered by it. I did have this one guy who was, he had played college football, and he looked like he could play pro ball, but I think he had an injury, couldn't do it. So he didn't know much about it. He saw an old girlfriend from high school, and she told him about it over lunch, and he called me and did a session. So he didn't know anything about it. He hadn't read any books. So I felt I needed to tell him. I said, "Well, you know, you could, when you go back in time, maybe you could be from Japan," or Maybe I didn't say Japan. You could be from another country. You could be Hispanic. You could be Italian. You could be French. You could be Oriental. You could be different cultures. You could be rich. You could be poor. You could be a man. You could be a woman. And that's really, I was really trying to get to that man-woman part because he didn't know anything about it, just in case. So I take him into a past life, and I said, what do you notice? He goes, I'm looking out. I'm on a balcony. I'm looking out. I'm either in Japan or Spain. And I said, well, why do you say that? And he said, because the architecture, the buildings, the pointed buildings. I was like, oh, okay. Then he goes, I think I'm a woman. And so his family was wealthy. They lived in a palace, or her family was wealthy. They lived in a palace. She was old enough to have her own space and stuff, and eventually got married and had kids. We didn't go through the delivery in the past life. But a funny thing happened there. He says, or she said, whatever, about, oh, I love my husband. It was kind of funny hearing him say that, just because he was this, like, pretty buffed out guy. But I've never had anybody actually freak out about it. I think most people know about it. I wanted him to know so he wouldn't freak out.
Yeah. So what was your most exciting past life? The one that surprised you the most?
Exciting or surprised? Mm-hmm. Which one?
Most surprised.
Well, there was this lady I saw, and so she really didn't have a whole lot. I don't remember if she had much she was looking for. Her mother had had a session like maybe 4 or 5 months earlier. And so we went into the past life, and the first thing is, I said, what do you notice? And she said, helicopters. Reinforcements are coming in. Like, where are you? I'm in the swamp. Where's the swamp? Vietnam. What year is it? 64. How old are you? 21. And then he starts cussing like a sailor. My socks are wet. Water got in my boots. My socks are wet. So then from there, we went forward and said, okay, I'm at the base. R&R at the base. Okay, listen. And what happens next? I'm back out on patrol in the swamp.
So she's a woman in this life, but in the past life, she was a man.
Right. Okay. She's a man. So we were just going back and forth in the swamp, and there wasn't a whole lot there. What's going on here? We're not really getting much out of it. So I said, okay, what branch are you of the military? An army. I'm the bottom. I'm down at the bottom. I'm an infantryman. And I said, okay, well, let's go back before you were in the army. Okay, I'm a Hispanic male. I'm 17. I'm wearing my zoot suit. I got my low rider. My lady's here. We're at a dance. You're at a dance. And your girlfriend's there. Not my girlfriend. I got a bunch of girlfriends. And I'm like, okay, and what else is going on? So we checked that out a little bit. Then I said, okay, let's go to another time. And he's like, I'm 7 years old. I'm at home, running around the house with my brothers and my sisters. I'm like, oh, okay, how many brothers? We got like 8 of us. Like, 8? That's a lot. And then all of a sudden, I hear, wait a minute. I recognize this house. This is my grandmother's house. And I said, oh, it's his grandmother's house. And she goes, no, it's his mother's house. It's my grandmother's house. And I'm like, but this is her uncle. So I said, tell me about your brothers and sisters. And she said, well, I said, what are their names? And she said, Stevie and Angela, and named off a couple of others. I'm looking at her list of people she gave me. And they weren't on the list. I'm like, okay. So we talked about some other stuff. I got back to some names, and she named her dad. So it was her dad's brother. And so from there, we went back, and he was in, it was actually further, it was in the future. I told her to go back to the same time, but she went back in the future. And maybe like 67 or something. And he was a sergeant out on patrol with his group, and we did another session. So some of this comes from the other session, second session on this. So he's out on patrol, and he sees a bunch of bodies, American soldiers, and all stacked up really neat. So he goes over to the bodies, to see if there's any like personal belongings to take back. And then he looks down and notices he's standing on a tripwire for a landmine. Mm-hmm. And he's like, uh-oh. So his buddies come up and call him and said, come on, let's go. One of them was Peter. It's one of his buddies. And he said, y'all got to get out of here. He had said before that, today's the day I'm going to die. I said, why are you saying that? I don't know. I just know. I've got a bunch of dog tags of people that died in my pocket. And there's arms and legs scattered all over the place. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, he's standing on the tripwire. And they're, come on. He says, no, y'all got to leave. Because he didn't want them to get blown up. So they're not leaving. He's there. And they keep calling him. He throws his dog tags to him. Throws him his gun. Says, y'all got to go. Get out of here. Go away. Finally, they left. And he's sitting there like, he realizes as soon as he moves, that's it. He's going to die. So he looks down on the ground. This still gets me. He looks down on the ground and notices an arm on the ground. And he says, I just want to reach down and hold that hand so I don't die alone. Mm-hmm. And eventually he, like, I had her move past the end of it in the first time. When we did it a second time, she said, no, I want to go through the end. But after the first time, she had found the virtual wall and multiple fragment wounds. She couldn't talk to her dad about it because he was not really into this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So she didn't even go there. But her mom just started dating her dad when this happened. And so mom knew a little bit. She talked to her Aunt Angela and found out stuff. And she said, you know, it's weird that I would bring up Stevie was the first name I said for a brother because I never knew him. He died before I was born. Mm. But that was the first name that I brought up. And she said, and my dad, when he was splitting up with my mom and moving out, he said, hey, I've got these letters from my brother. Do you want them? And she goes, yeah. And she said, when I was little, my dad said, you know, you remind me of my brother, Joe. And so she said, and she emailed me and said, oh, last thing, I was reading those letters. And the last one I read, he was complaining about his socks being wet and asked us to send him some socks.
So basically you're saying that in this life, she's a woman, but in her past life, she was her uncle.
Right.
She was Stevie, right?
No, she was not Stevie.
She was Joe.
Jose.
Okay. Okay. And then when she went back and read the letters, she even connected more with that because she had already had the experience.
Right. Yeah. She realized that, yeah.
That she was a...
Yeah. That kind of... I don't know that she needed validation, but she got it anyway.
From the past life, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. She read.
And from reading a letter, it validated the past life, the part about the songs. Life.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So do you get that a lot? Where people can go back and find validations for their past lives?
Validation. Sometimes. There was a guy I did a session with probably a few years ago. And he was... It's kind of an interesting experience. He was a little boy, and the first scene, his ball rolled out in the street. He went out to get it, and a car was heading right for him. And then out of nowhere, another car came barreling in, rammed into the first car, and so the car didn't hit the little boy. Oh. But the guy that helped the boy not get hit, he died, and it was his neighbor. And it was a man, and his wife was pissed because you killed my husband. Then we go to another scene, and he's on a school bus with his brother and sister. He's the oldest. His name was James. And there were a couple of the brother and sister were there. And they're on a school bus, and all of a sudden the school bus slid. It was icy. It slid off into a river, and it was sitting right on the edge of a drop. And it was in the river, but it wasn't all the way submerged. But it was right on the edge of kind of like a little cliff or a ravine or something in the river. And so he was trying to get out. He couldn't find his little sister. She was a baby. And he found his brother, and his brother's shoe got stuck in the window. He was trying to get out the window, and his shoe was stuck, and he couldn't get out. So he was trying to push his brother through, and then the water came rushing, and he got whooshed out the another window and tried to pull his brother from the outside. As he was doing that, the bus fell, and it went down, and everybody drowned. Mm. And then, about 2 hours after a session, I got this video, an email with a link to a YouTube video. It was that whole story. Really? It was like a documentary, kind of news documentary story. Kids died. Whole families died. An example. And it showed three kids that died. The oldest one was James, and the brother and the baby sister. It showed them as part of that video.
Had he not known that before having the past?
He didn't know that. His sister found it.
Really?
His sister sent it to him. When he told his sister about it, and she searched it up and found that video. And it was, I want to say Virginia, West Virginia maybe. It was cold out because it was icy. And it was like maybe around February, March, something like that.
So I had a past life experience with you. Remember? And
which one?
The first one.
The first one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the time, I had just separated from my second husband, and I went back to a time of the 1800s, and I recognized the man that I was involved with as being my second husband.
Hmm.
And so in that life, we were in a relationship, but he was married, and I was a saloon girl, and when I told him that I was pregnant, he became upset and choked me to death, ending that life. But I later found out and realized and was able to put the correlation together, because the day we got married, the first day we got married, I had a full-set asthma attack. I never had asthma in my life. And after we got home from the, from all the celebrations and stuff, I had to go to the hospital. I couldn't breathe.
Hmm.
And because I couldn't breathe, I couldn't figure it out, because I never had asthma. I was in my 30s, my first asthma attack. And the whole time I was married to him, I couldn't breathe. I had difficulty all the time, like not being able to breathe. And even ended up on, in the hospital with congestive heart failure and possibly needing a heart transplant. And when you're in that sick and you're in that situation, you can't breathe.
Right.
And as I laid there, I was thinking, the only thing I know is the day I got married, my breath started leaving. And I did not know the past life at that time. I had not had that experience, nor had I met you. And I wasn't even doing past life then. I wasn't even doing hypnosis then. But I was a Reiki master and a healer. And I was starting to put the correlation that there was something about him that was taking my breath away. And
not in a good way.
And not in a good way. Right. And so when I got out of the hospital, I told him, you got to go. You have to move. I cannot live with you. I have children, I have to be able to live and take care of them. And all I know is that I cannot breathe with you. And we've been married 7 years. And so he threw a fit and he left, and I caught my breath. And I never had asthma again. And I never had breathing problems once our divorce was final and he was gone.
Hmm.
So I did get that correlation. And then I went. It was probably 6 years later I came and saw you and had my past life and really got it then. So do you find that very often?
So do I find what very often? Somebody figures it out on their own and then gets validation?
No.
I'm not sure.
Do you have that very often where people actually realize you know, that there's a correlation between the past life and this life. Illness and sickness and things like that.
Right. Yeah, that comes up quite often. Mm-hmm. So one guy that comes to mind, he was actually a Nazi soldier. And he had, I didn't know he had a pain in his back, but he was marching people into the gas chamber. And then he was in a battle.
In the past life.
In the past mm-hmm. life. And he got shot, and he put his hand back on his back and went, "Oh, my hand." And he pulled his hand up and looked at it like, "Am I bleeding?" And I said, he said, my back. And I said, he said, "My back hurts." And I said, "Well, did it hurt when you came in here?" He goes, "Yeah, it's been hurting for 25 years in that mm-hmm. same spot." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Ah, okay." And then he said, I said, "Well, I just helped him to let go of that mm-hmm. that pain." And when he opened his eyes, I said, "How do you feel?" He goes, "My back doesn't hurt." Because it always hurt. It was always there until he made that connection between getting shot in that exact spot. And so pain will come up like that in the exact spot.
Well, did the pain come up at a certain time? Like at the time he would have been in the past life? Or did it come up ever since he can remember being alive?
It was 25 years. He was over 25 years old. Okay. So it came up. Sometimes what'll happen, and that may have been the case with him, sometimes what happens is if a person is, let's say, 30 years old in the past life mm-hmm. and they have a problem, like they're a knee problem, mm-hmm. then when they're 30 in their current life, they might develop a knee problem. They might fall and break their knee, and something might happen. But that sometimes, it's not always, but it can sync up to the age in the past life, and something similar happens to that same part of the body in the current life. There's a guy that, I was trying to remember, I think I got the story now. There's this guy I work with, I think it was in Oklahoma City, and he was a black man, basketball player, pro basketball player, and he had he was in a past life, and he was a pirate. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting stuff in this. So he was second command. So the captain got sick and told him, "You're in charge, but don't tell anybody I'm sick. I don't want him to know I'm weak. So don't tell him I'm sick, but you're in charge." So he's in charge. So he was being kind of difficult with all the pirates. And like if a pirate was scrubbing the deck and he wasn't doing a good job, he would go over and knock over the bucket of water. And the guy would have to go get another bucket of water out of the ocean to keep swabbing the deck. And so he was just mean to all the pirates and rude to all the pirates. And I don't think one pirate, is not somebody you want to piss off, but much less a whole bunch of them. Right. So he turns around at one point, and they're like all standing there staring at him. He's like, "Is this a mutiny?" And they go, "Yeah." Somebody comes up behind and stabs him in the back with mm-hmm. a sword. And he said it went through the bottom of my heart. This guy had a fear of water, like fear of going over bridges. And he said, "I can't go out on a boat." He said he couldn't go out on a boat. And so I said, "So do you have any issues with your heart?" And he goes, "Yeah, I get heart palpitations." And I'm thinking, let me use a little humor here. And I said, "Let me ask you this. Does this only happen when you're over water?" And he goes, "As a matter of fact, yes. If I'm going over a bridge, my heart will start racing. If I'm out in a boat, my heart starts racing. I can't go out on a boat because my heart starts racing." I'm like, "Well, now you know why, because you got stabbed in the heart." And so we released it. And then I was trying to do, this is a kind of another kind of interesting part of it. So I'm trying to get him to forgive himself. And when I do that, I have the past life self, the pirate. I'm trying to get the pirate to talk to himself and have a conversation and then forgive himself.
And what's that process called?
That's called Gestalt therapy. So what happened was I got the pirate to talk, but just for a few words. And when he talked, he sounded just like a pirate. It was funny. There's this black man there, just sounded exactly like Jack Sparrow from the pirate movie. And I was just, and I tried to get him to keep talking, but then my client said, "Nah, he thinks this is silly. He doesn't want to do that. He thinks it's silly. He's a pirate after all. He thinks this is a silly thing you're doing. So he doesn't want to talk anymore." But it was pretty funny. Just those few words came out. Sounded exactly like a pirate.
Well, and I have another question, because this happened with our grandchild. Do you find that children remember their past lives easier and more efficiently than adults?
Well, kids remember their past life up to about a certain age. Maybe, usually it's like right around the time they start going to school. Because they might talk about this as a young kid. Mm-hmm. And then when they go to school, their mom or dad's like, "No, shh, don't talk about that. People think you're weird. Don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Stop talking about it." Mm-hmm. Some kids have an imaginary friend, which a lot of times I discovered is actually a spirit guide. And often it might be a kid that's like an only child. Their spirit guide will say, "Hey, you need help. Let me come play with you." And they'll appear as a child. Nobody else sees them, but the kid actually sees them. But kids can see spirit. They can see their parents or grandparents that pass away. They can see them often. And they also remember past lives quite often. Mm-hmm. So it's possible for a child to tap into that. So there's a man named Ian Stevenson who wrote several books, I believe, maybe more than several, on past lives of children. He would actually go like to India, and he would find somebody, a kid, and get them to tell their story without hypnotizing them. Mm-hmm. They would tell the story, and he would go maybe to the next village and find the family.
Oh, wow.
The family that they were still left over, mm-hmm. and that remembered all this stuff. And there's also a lady named Carol Bowman who's written books on children's past lives. So kids often remember. It's kind of tricky working with a kid, taking a kid back to a past life, I feel, depending on what the situation is. So I had one lady, she had like a 10-year-old who wanted to do a past life, and mom was already planning to do one. So she wanted to do it. I think she was a single mom. And so we went ahead and did one with her daughter, but it was more of a fun thing. I don't feel comfortable taking a child to the death scene, the end of their past life, when they right. die in the past life. Right. It doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't feel right to put a kid through something like that. And that's what I like to do at the end. And I talked to somebody that said they had anger issues. Her daughter has anger issues. She yells at me, "I hate you, I hate you." And I talked to her about it. She's talking to me about doing it, and I wasn't sure, so I contacted Carol Bowman. Her book, Children's Past Lives, is all about that. And she said, "I only know one person in the whole country that I would actually refer somebody to for that type of situation." Mm-hmm. She said, I wouldn't touch that.
Right.
And so then I had another lady that called up, and her daughter had a knee problem, and she went in, they re-fixed her knee, you know, everything was good, the x-rays, MRIs were good, but it still bothered. She wasn't active like she had been because her knee hurt, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't go away. She's convinced it's past life, so she came in, and she went to like three or four different lifetimes, and one was about the knee, the others, some of them were kind of other issues that were going on that were a little more, I was a little more reluctant to work with, but she went to the lifetime and answered questions about why she had these dreams that she had been having. But the knee thing, she was a Native American girl, around the same age as her. I think she was 14. And the Native American girl was playing with her friend in the woods, injured her knee. When she injured her knee, it got infected. She went to the medicine woman, and they were working on it, putting stuff on it to help it heal, and it just got worse. She got gangrene, And when I tell people to leave a life, I say, it's time for your soul to leave now. Your soul is leaving the body. And with her, she said, I'm sitting down. I decide my spirit is ready to leave. And she willed herself to die, and she just died in the past life. And that was the same knee. I think it was a left knee in both situations.
Right.
And it was the same knee. Probably it happened around the same age, like I mentioned earlier. And her mom came for a session like a week later and said, she's good. She's like 95% better. She's out running and playing with her cousins. And she's
doing great. And she wasn't able to do that before.
Right, yeah.
Well, as you know, our grandson was, how old was he? 3? No, he was about 3 and a half. Not quite 4. And it was Christmas. And we took him shopping. You remember the story?
I think so.
And he demanded to have a drum set. And we was hesitant in doing it because we figured my daughter would kill us. But we got him a drum set. And when we left, where did we go after that? And they had drums out because it was Christmas. And he couldn't even reach the bottom pedal. And he hopped up in there and got those little sticks. And he went to playing. And he played so well. And people were coming around and listening. You were screaming, who teaches? Who teaches? And so, anyway, when it was over and we got in the car, we couldn't figure out how he knew how to play so well. And what did he tell you later?
What did he say?
He told you he played with the Grateful Dead.
Oh, yeah, the Grateful Dead. Yeah. That's right.
And he told you who was in the band, which I do not know anything about that band and the people in it. And he was correct, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I find it interesting that even the children were remembering so easily. And I remember once being at the airport, and this lady, and I don't know, I think she was Chinese, actually, but she had a little baby. And I don't know what came over me, but I chased that woman with that baby. It was the baby, and the baby was looking at me, and I was looking at the baby. And it was holding its arms out. I was wanting that baby so bad. And I chased that lady through that whole airport, and then I thought, oh, my God, she's going to think I'm going to kidnap her kid. And I stopped. But there was something about that child. I recognized that child's soul. I knew that child so well.
Well, did that child know you?
Yes, it was trying to come to me as much as I was trying to go to it. But the lady was just walking faster and faster. She probably thought I was going to take her kid or something.
So you were trying to kidnap
them? No, I was not. But anyway, I just knew that baby, and I knew it well. So,
right.
But I've had experiences like that. I think we all have, right? Where we know someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to let this go at this point. But do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I mean, I've got plenty of stories, but I think that's quite a bit of stuff if we just went through all that stuff.
You got tons of stories.
Yeah. I just need to write them down.
Yes, you do. You need to write them down. So what advice would you give to someone who called you and was wanting a past life?
Well, what I tell people to do, because I work all online now, so what I tell people to do is schedule a free visit with me. Just so we can talk and make sure it's the right thing. Most people I feel good about when I talk to them. Once in a while, I'll talk to somebody. It doesn't feel like it's right for them. And so I'll let them know. The last thing I want is for somebody to schedule a session, come online on Zoom and have a problem. Some people, I had somebody recently that was kind of struggling with part of the process, but we kind of changed gears and did a backup plan, and she went right in and had an amazing experience. So I never know exactly how it's going to work out.
And so after they go to a past life, tell us about your sessions, because I know you have one that after the past life, they can connect with their guides and angels, and they can get answers. So tell us about your sessions.
Okay, so there's past life regression. That's where we go visit childhood, womb, past life. And then I also teach people how to hypnotize themselves. So I did one of those today, but she had another experience. She didn't actually go to a past life. It was kind of different. I won't go into the details. But most people, that's what they do. They'll go to childhood, womb, and past life. Mm-hmm. There's another session of what I learned from Dolores Cannon. It's called Quantum Healing Hypnosis. And in that session, we do the same thing at the beginning. It's the same as a past life session. But after that, we connect with higher self and mainly get answers to questions, but it's also about healing. Healing doesn't have to be physical, fix my knee, fix my back. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be spiritual. So whatever happens, spirit is the one that steps in and helps with the healing. Also, the healing can be a result of an aha moment, realizing that the reason I have this problem here is because of a past life where I had a similar issue. Mm-hmm. And so there can be dots connected that way. When we go into the past life in a quantum healing, it is the same as a past life session. But sometimes when we're in a question, asking a question, the answer is that's from a past life. So if the answer to the question is that past life is why this problem is there, mm-hmm. we'll just go back to that past life. We'll put the questions on hold, go back and visit just that part of the lifetime. It might take 5 or 10 minutes, probably more like 5, to deal with that, to find out why is this a problem, clear it, and then come back and go to the next question. I had a lady last year, she went to 5 different past lives after we got to the questions, from inside of her questions. One of them, she had a problem with driving. A lot of her stuff was fear of driving. So one of them, she went back, from the questions, she went back, and she said, I see 2 different lifetimes. One's a Western, and one is in the 20s. And I want to go to the first one. So I said, let's go to the oldest one first. Let's go to the Western. So go to the Western. She gets there, and she's a man, there we go again, mm-hmm. a man in a saloon having drinks, gets in an argument with another man, decides who just wants to leave, he goes out, the other guy follows him out, mm-hmm. and he gets on his horse, he's riding away, he looks back to see if the guy's following him, turns around, and there's a horse and buggy right in front of him, and he crashes into it and dies.
Oh.
So it wasn't a car crash, but it was mm-hmm. a vehicle type of crash, mm-hmm. and that was part of what some of all the stuff that had given her all these problems with driving a car.
Hmm. So if that happens, how long are your sessions?
Well, the past life session, including our initial talk, it's about 3 to 3.5 hours.
That's without questions.
That's without the questions. Mm-hmm. The longer quantum healing hypnosis with the questions, mm-hmm. it's more like 4 to 5 hours.
Okay. And then, do you have any other sessions?
Yeah, I do hypnotherapy. I do a lot of hypnotherapy sessions. And also, there's another session that's called Life Between Lives. That's what I learned from Michael Newton. He's the author of Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. And so that session is different. You really need to start with one of the other ones. You start with a past life or a quantum healing session mm-hmm. first. Once you have that under your belt, you're ready to go on into the Life Between Lives.
Well, we'll talk about that in another session.
Yeah, the Life Between Lives is more involved.
It's more involved, and that would take a whole segment itself.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the best way to get a hold of me is to go to my website. It's pastliferegressiondallas.com. And you can find a link that says schedule, or you can just keep typing and /schedule. And that'll take you to a page. There's a video there that talks about these 2 sessions, past life and a quantum healing. Explains what you need to know. There's also a link there that lets you schedule a free visit with me, a free 20-minute call on Zoom. There's no obligation. Most people that do that will eventually have a session, but it's not a requirement. It's a free consultation is what I call it. So you can schedule that And I'll be happy to spend time talking to you about your situation and that sort of thing. I also teach hypnosis, and I teach past life regression, and I teach life between lives. I'm a lead instructor for the Michael Newton Institute, teaching life between lives. So we've been teaching online. We had a couple of online classes in 21 and 22. So my other site is called hypnomark.com, and you can go there, hypnomark.com/schedule. If you're interested in training or a session, you can schedule a free consultation there around that. And if you're really interested in the past life thing and you want to learn how to do past life, you need to start with hypnosis. And if you already have learned hypnosis, I have a past life class starting next month. So that's something that's available.
Okay. And would you like to add anything else?
I need to get somebody to schedule a life between lives session, but I'm not sure when she needs to do it. So when are you going to do that?
Well, we don't have time to do those no more. We used to do them on each other all the time. We don't have that time right.
Well, we'll just have to book it far enough out where there's a block of time there.
Yeah. So, if you'd like a session with Mark, like he said, it is pastliferegressiondallas.com, right?
Yeah.
Or hypnomark.com. And you can also just Google Mark Johnson hypnosis, and it comes up pretty much everywhere. And in our next segments, we'll be talking about life between lives. We'll talk about mediumship. I'm a medium. And we'll talk about other things that most people